Dean Thompson's originally from Rolling Hills Estates. His current town's Los Osos. He's a naturalist out of Montana de Oro State Park. And that's it. Please welcome Dean Thompson. Thompson. I'm just tongue-tied there.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Back in the 70s, that was not just a phrase, it was a way of life, okay? But being a kid in high school growing up in the 70s, I mean, I liked rock and roll. I still like rock and roll. The sex thing didn't really work out for me in high school. I was painfully shy and raised by very conservative parents. The drugs, on the other hand, I made my share of bad choices. But I also made my share of good choices as well. And one of the bad choices I made was when I was a senior in high school. And some buddies and I were going to go on a camp out. And we decided to make the camp out a little more interesting by bringing along a little pot, a little marijuana. And that really wasn't the bad choice. The bad choice was when we bought it, my buddy of mine, Donnie, bought it at school from a friend of his. And he bought a little bag of pot, and we decided that we would try it out that day at school during lunch. So we scrambled up this rocky hillside behind our school to this nice big dense tree, and we went inside there, and we tried a little bit out, and I ate my lunch, and then we scrambled back down the hill, and after indulging in that, I kind of affected my lower GI, and so I had to use the bathroom. So I went into the bathroom. My buddies, they dispersed. They went off to have lunch or whatever. And I was in the bathroom for a while. And I came out of the bathroom and I rounded the corner and I started walking down the hallway towards the drinking fountain when coming from the other direction were two people, Mr. Terry and Mr. Johnson. Now, Mr. Johnson was our soccer coach. We called him Coach Johnson. Mr. Terry was the assistant principal. And he kind of fashioned himself as a FBI or a CIA agent. And nobody really liked him. He wore a dark suit, white shirt, skinny tie, shiny shoes, crew cut, and dark glasses. I was walking down the hallway, almost get to the drinking fountain, when Coach Johnson's like, Dean, come on over here. We want to have a talk with you. So they brought me over by a low wall, and Coach Johnson said, So, Dean... what were you and your friends doing up there in that tree? I said, I was just eating lunch, said Coach Johnson. At this point, Mr. Terry had to kind of jump into the conversation to let him know that he was there too. He said, well, we just caught your buddy, Bradley Sparks, up there, and he was smoking marijuana. What were you doing? I said, I was just eating my lunch, which wasn't a lie. I was actually eating my lunch up there. And Coach Johnson's like, let me smell your breath. And so I went, and he said, exhale. I said, and he goes, yep, you were smoking pot. I can smell it on your breath. And he said, let's see what's in your pockets. And at this point in time in my life, I had learned that when you got in trouble and you got caught, the thing that would drive adults wild is when you started just denying things in the face of the obvious, okay? And so at this point, I said, you know what? It's true. I was up there. We just had one little joint, which was a lie. And I just had one puff, and I decided I didn't want to do it anymore. And this was a really bad judgment on my part, and it was a poor decision. And I apologize for doing this, and I won't do it again. And Coach Johnson just kind of looked at me and said, empty out your pockets. And so I emptied out my pockets. I had nothing on me because Donnie, my other buddy, he had the bag of weed. And so I emptied it all out, and he's looking through my stuff, and he opens up my wallet, and in my wallet, right on the inside, is my Boy Scout identification card. And I remember Coach Johnson looking at me, and he goes, Christ, they're all Boy Scouts, which we all were, you know. And so then he's like, okay, you know what, we're going to take you to the office. And so they walked me over to the office, and they sat me down in the office, and they called my mom. My mom wasn't home. They called my dad. My dad was at work, okay? But this is before cell phones and answering machines, so they couldn't leave any messages or anything. So they just kept calling, and I just kept sitting there. And at one point, I could hear him talking. They came out, and they said, Mr. Terry's like, and who was that other boy that you were with? And I said, I just kind of looked at him, and I said, And Coach Johnson's like, don't worry, we can find out who he was. But Mr. Terry wasn't done yet. He said, did you boys stash a bong up there? Is there a lid, a pot up there? And I almost wanted to say, yeah, there's a bong, there's hookahs, there's like all sorts of crazy stuff up there. Because I wanted to see him go up there in his, you know, shiny shoes and his suit to go up there. But I said, no. And if I did stash anything up there, do you think I'd tell you? And Coach Johnson's like, he's not going to tell us. Let's just go, Alan. So I could hear him talking, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, that's who it is. Okay, it's Donnie Gilmore. He's in Perry's class. And so they left. And now I'm sitting there. I'm starting to worry. I'm starting to sweat because Donnie had the bag of weed. If they found him and he had it, we'd be in big trouble. This would, you know, the police would be involved. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting. And then I see him coming walking back, and they've got Donnie with him. And Donnie's got stone face. He's not saying a word. And as he walks by me, he just does a quick glance at me, kind of winks, and gives me a thumbs up. And I was like, yes! And see, what had happened is he had seen my buddy Bradley get busted. And then he heard that I got taken to the office. So he knew he was next. So he got rid of everything, and he was clean. And he was always a mouth. He was just a pop-off all the time. And so he was sitting there in fifth period. And when they came in, they said, is Donnie Gilmore here? He's like, oh, I'm right here. What took you so long? I've been waiting for you. Which they didn't really appreciate. So they didn't really have any evidence. They had my admission and Bradley's admission, and Donnie got off scot-free. And I had to go home and tell my parents, and they called my parents, and the agreement was that I come to school the next day and talk with Mr. Terry. So I remember sitting in the office, in Mr. Terry's office, with my parents there, and Mr. Terry starts going on about how, you know, they're going to go easy on me because I'm a good student, and this is the first time I've ever gotten in trouble, and all the teachers vouch for me that I'm a really good guy, and how this incident that happened is just, it's just an isolated instance, and there's only a handful, maybe a dozen students in the entire school that even indulge in this sort of behavior. And at this point, I went, all right. And my parents just turned and looked at me. And the look was, you speak when you are spoken to. You say, yes, sir, no, sir. I mean, they didn't say that was the look I got, right? And so then Mr. Terry winds around and he looks at me and he says, Dean, I want you to promise me something. And I said, okay. He said, I want you to promise me that you will not smoke marijuana anymore. And I looked at Mr. Terry, and I looked at my parents, and I said, I'm sorry. I can't promise you that. And my parents looked at me like, you make that promise. And I said, I'm sorry. I am not going to promise somebody something that I know I'm not going to keep. I'm not going to keep that promise because I probably will keep smoking marijuana. And Mr. Terry sat back, and he regarded me, and then he said, okay, promise me that you will not smoke marijuana during school hours anymore. And I looked at him and I said, I can promise you that. And that was a promise that I lived up to throughout the rest of high school. And I made it a promise to myself, and I kept that promise all the way through college. And I only wish that my buddy Bradley had made that promise, because Bradley was a guy who was kind of my cautionary tale. And he was the example for me of what can go bad with somebody who doesn't have willpower and can't say no. Because he was the youngest Eagle Scout in our troop. He was a mentally gifted minor. He was a Gates student. He was amazing, amazing. And I watched him spiral down into a shell of what his former potential could be. And through him and other people, I learned that there's a time for school, there's a time for play, there's a time for work, there's a time for relaxation and inspiration, and there's a time to have your head on straight and have your faculties in order so you can appear intelligent to the opposite sex. But then there's also a time to party, you know, and it's just moderation in all things, including moderation.